Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Howdy all, this is Bob Nightingale, America's so-called sweetheart. At least that's what Liam says. I'm not sure about that, but you listen up, Pod and Lansdowne.
Liam, you're a big gobble guy?
As I'm swallowing.
He sounds like an apple guy. For sure.
It's a big apple.
Is that a gala apple right there?
No, Honeycrisp.
Honeycrisp. Okay.
Yeah.
I like Honeycrisp.
Very refreshing.
Yeah, I like gala apples. The thing is, with me, I recently did, like, within the last 2 years, I did Invisalign. Like, I got my wisdom teeth out and started lining up my chompers to do Invisalign.
Oh, did it all.
And it's been great, right? But the flip side of that is that because of the shifting and whatnot, it makes it hard to eat apples straight up. I mean, if you put them in slices or whatnot, like I'm a 5-year-old, they're pretty good. So I haven't been able to enjoy
little Happy Meal bags.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like the little plastic. The what is it? Mott's is the company. Mott's does. Yeah. So
applesauce.
Yeah, the very same, right? So I haven't been able to enjoy as many apples in recent years because it's
a whole
thing. Got to chomp them up.
I'm a sour green apple man.
Oh,
Granny Smith.
Oh, terrible! Worst apple by far.
If I had to rank them,
I think that's like a low B tier apple. I think it's solid enough.
They're always so firm though.
I prefer the hard apple.
Need it to be a little soft.
Soft
not like
apples
mealy,
scare me because then I get I'm like, oh, is it bad? But if it's hard, I know that it's.
That's
good.
What you make pies with, though. Like you need those for apple pie. You can't.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not making a fucking apple pie.
Do you not like
I'm
apple eating, pie?
I don't dislike it, but I don't. Pie is not. Yeah, we went to Bova's. And you got what'd you get? Fucking
yeah, apple pie square is amazing. It's delicious.
What a freak! At a pastry shop.
It was bomb. It was tasty. If I had a cool glass of milk or some ice cream to go with that, it'd be amazing.
Old man dessert.
Gala apples are Macintosh, really good apples. I think Red Delicious gets a little bit too much hate, but I've always appreciated Red Delicious.
Overrated.
Again, probably B tier, I would say. Those yellow ones, those belong in the trash. No flavor to those.
I've never had.
Those are terrible.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that was Apple Talk on Lansdowne.
Yep.
Pot orchard. On the orchard.
Orchard. Yeah, there you go.
anyways, love apples. That S tier fruit, just in general. But anyways, I am Todd Walker, a.k.a. Fitz. I am joined by Jake Faria, a.k.a. Jake. And bye, all caps, a.k.a. Liam. This is Pod on Lansdowne. We're happy you could join us for this very, very special episode for a couple of reasons. Number one, I made it out of Chicago alive. I never thought it was going to happen. And maybe we can go into it later. But I wrote a blog on it. It was a whole freaking ordeal.
I was hoping you could give us like a dramatic reading or something at some point.
Hours of driving yesterday, Liam. 1-4. For those who haven't read the blog, who didn't follow me,
I've done
Twitter.
It. I've done it, Fitz. I mean, grow up.
I mean, I've done Amherst.
Yeah, get over it.
I've done Amherst. Well, I also did the Chicago from Boston drive before, but we also like we stayed overnight once. We broke.
I did
it up.
Boston to South Bend.
I did Amherst to South Bend.
I mean, that's almost what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I did Connecticut to South Bend. So mine was like 13 hours.
Driving through Connecticut is hell. We avoided Connecticut.
Connecticut.
We went through like upstate New York.
Why? What?
Driving through Connecticut's awful. What are you talking about?
What, like Hartford?
The whole thing. whole thing. I gotta turn off my fan, by the way. That's gonna sound like that's gonna sound like dog Hartford.
I don't know if I don't know if I agree with that. Hartford's not great, but outside of that,
yeah, a lot of it is Hartford. But you get to see the Argotes Park, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, the Dunk. It's just Dunkin' Park now.
Yeah,
used to be Dunkin' Donuts Park.
But. Yeah, but they changed that up. So I survived the
Well, Fitz, we're happy to have you here. We're happy to have you.
It's good to be here. It's good to be not cooped up in a car. Second reason, because the Sox are rolling. The Boston Red Sox are ahead of the New York Yankees in the standings.
They are.
As we record this right now.
They are.
But the biggest reason, Jake, I'll let you do the honors on this because you got it all squared up. Who's joining us on the podcast later?
Oh, later on, we will be joined by former Red Sox sideline reporter Gary Streisky.
Unbelievable pull.
Woohoo! Yeah, so give it up for Gary, everybody.
Give it up for Gary.
And give it up for Jake for getting that square together, for Gold Star.
Organizing. Yeah.
So we're very excited for that.
Let us. How did you get a hold of Gary? I'm sure he's a hard man to nail down.
I DM'd him.
Just that's it? That's pretty good.
That's all
we've met before. Like, it wasn't cold. But we've crossed paths a few times.
It was your boyish charm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a cold call.
Well, no, I know. Speaking of, we have a couple of those to send out, don't we, later?
That's true. That's true.
Cold DMs.
Yeah, those will be cold.
Yes.
Those will be big. But again, yeah,
cold.
You gotta risk it for the biscuit. That's the old saying. But anyways, we're happy you could have us here on this edition of the episode. First one after the All-Star break, the All-Star game. Hope you enjoyed your All-Star break. Hope you enjoyed your weekend. Pretty solid weekend at the friendly confines, fellas. 2 out of 3. You know, everyone's complaining like, oh, other people who aren't Red Sox fans. And even some people have been like, okay, let's calm down. They've just been beating the Cubs. They've just been beating up on the
Oakland A's. That's not true, Fitz. It's not true.
What do you mean?
Well, they swept the Blue Jays.
I'm just saying, like, within the past week.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No, but that's what I mean. Like, I mean, these two teams suck, and we've been beating them.
Yeah, but we have also been beating other teams. Anyways,
exactly, that's right. 2 or 3 from the Rangers, one of the best teams.
Especially, yeah, I always hate those complaints. Well, it's only this team, it's only that team. As if we choose who to play, as if we handpick. Yeah. Oh, I want to play Oakland right now. You know, oh, I want to play the Cubs right now. You know, especially now with the even schedule, you guys get the same opportunities to beat up on the A's at some point in the season. You guys can play the Cubs. You guys can have the Mets coming into town, or you go into Queens to play the Mets. You know, we don't pick it. It's just right now we're in a situation where the team needs to be taking advantage of these games right before the trade deadline. And so far, Liam, that's been the case. The team's been on a good run.
Yeah, I mean, I said it last week before the break, but it's Jake Faria.
Yeah.
I said it before the break. It's encouraging to see them beat the teams they're supposed to beat. Because they hadn't done that all year up until this point. They were playing to the level of competition.
Skibbity.
Trevor Story rehab assignment this weekend.
All right.
It's all coming together now.
Our trade deadline acquisition, guys.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Where's he starting? Does it say?
It says Portland? Affiliate. One of the affiliates.
I would guess Portland.
Yeah, that's what probably Portland.
You know? But he's going to be starting in low A ball. I don't think.
Greenville.
He hasn't swung a bat in like live pitching in like what, 8 months, probably 9 months.
Like game, you know. What yeah. I mean, obviously he's that's taking tough. PvP against some guys and simulated games and stuff. But you know that doesn't match up to the real thing on a rehab assignment. But point A, hey, step in the right direction.
Yeah, sail through a bullpen today, I believe. Throwing through
another deadline acquisition. After.
Sure. Here's a question I'd love to pose to you, Cats. Would you be intrigued by Sale in a sort of like middle relief role strictly?
Yeah.
Like four innings at a time?
Yeah. Like 3-4 innings, like, but strictly out of the pen.
I think so. Cause I mean, figure when he comes back, I mean, there's no way he's going to be able to throw like 95 pitches at, you know, fully effective. You know what I mean? So
yeah. put him in the Pavetta role. Pavetta 2.0.
No, let's keep Pavetta there.
Yeah, I was going to say after Monday night, maybe keep Pavetta where he is.
Oh, like have a lefty and a righty to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Yeah. Well, how about Nicky P, huh?
Unbelievable.
How about him?
Unbelievable. How about him? Good for him. After the pissiest attitude of going to the bullpen, he's been walking the walk.
He wasn't familiar with his own game.
Yeah. Doesn't know his own strength.
He's thriving out there.
Yeah.
On the drive-in, I thought Will Fleming was gonna fucking O on the broadcast because he was losing his mind with, like, more and more with every strikeout. By, like, the ninth, he was
crazy.
It was hilarious. I just kept laughing.
He struck out seven straight at one point?
It was definitely six at one point, right?
Yeah.
It may have been seven.
What was the hit? I didn't even remember. What was the hit Bernardino gave up?
Well, let me see.
Because it was just a one. We threw a one-hitter last night. The Sox threw a one-hitter.
Jamie pulled that up.
Yeah, Bernardino into Pivetta is that's our ace.
Single to right field by Ryan Noda in the bottom of the first inning.
Oh, all right. Sure.
That was it.
I would love to hear if Pivetta thinks there is anything different in terms of the approach being a long stretch relief pitcher, or if it's just his same approach, but he just, you know, he delays it by 45 minutes because he's sitting, you know, in the bullpen for the first inning or two. I would like to hear what changes or what stays the same in his process, because it is night and day. I don't know what it is. It's you go one time through the order and then he comes in and it's lights out. And this is not the first. This is the first time it's happened on this scale. You know what I mean? He was untouchable Monday night against Oakland. I understand it's the A's.
Literally.
Same argue with I said.
He literally was. Yeah.
Pedro in Cleveland, 99.
Yeah, right. The Red Sox will mob Nick Pivetta on the mound. But this is, in terms of him being an effective relief pitcher out of the bullpen, we've seen it for, what, near 40 innings at this point? We're getting enough of a sample size where you could say this is working. So I would be curious to hear what he has to say in terms of, you know, does anything feel different in terms of his preparation for those outings? What stays the same? Because it's working beautifully. And I don't know what has changed or what stayed the same in terms of, you know, of that pregame stuff. I'm just happy that it's a thing in the first place, I guess. Maybe don't question it that much. Just accept it. Lean back and accept it.
Well, this isn't breaking new ground, but baseball is so mental. And that seems to just be kind of what happened. I mean, he rears back when he had a couple of those like one or two inning stints they were doing for a little, and he was ticking up his velo. But like last night, I mean, that's basically a start, you know, six innings. So it's not different in that sense, as far as being stretched out or whatever. It's just, I think something about coming in later, like freed his mind or something. I don't know. We'll never know, really.
But unless we get him on the pod, unless we cold call him.
I said it jokingly on Twitter to you Monday night, Fitz, but he just likes to take it slow to start the day at the office.
Right? Wake
I don't
up,
know if, like,
you know, make yourself a coffee.
Get a feel for the day, get a feel for the game. I don't know if that gives him like extra time to look at scouting reports or like what he's doing for the first 2 to 3 innings. But I mean, 35 innings, 52 strikeouts.
Or is something's it like a working. Test like for school?
Crazy.
Like, yeah.
What is it? Is K9 is like 13 and a half or something, right?
Which is absurd.
As a reliever.
That's hilarious. I mean, again, Monday's going to jump that up a bit, you know, and that's not sustainable, but that's still ridiculous, you know? Maybe though, Liam, like, is it on the flip side of it, like looking at scouting reports longer, it's like, is it like taking a test at school? Like at some point you reach a line when you're studying for a test at school where like,
you're like, you just got to take
it. There's no more preparation. There's, you know, you can keep looking at the Spanish Inquisition all you want. Like, you know what you are going to know at this point. It's not going to change. You can't cram anymore. You have to just take the test. I don't know.
You guys procrastinate? I love procrastinating.
I'm so good at procrastinating.
Yeah, I to this day I do it. Doesn't matter.
I try not to. I do try to tackle things as early as I can, but high school taught me how to procrastinate. If I find myself in the situation where I do need to procrastinate, high school taught me how to, you know, properly go about it. So I'm kind of kind of procrastinating centrist, if you will. I don't do it all the time, but okay, I know how great. To need to be.
Yeah, no, I definitely do my best work under pressure. If you give me like a month to do something, I'm not going to do it until like hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no pressure, no diamonds.
So here, fellas, here's what I ask about Nicky P. As far as the Boston Red Sox go, I mean, it's over for him as a starter, right?
Yeah, I don't see why it's not broken. Don't fix it.
Yeah, like even if all five of if we have zero starting pitchers left, they would still just have someone open for him.
Yeah, and
like under no circumstances are
you
letting
said
him
it yourself,
begin
Jake,
a game.
Like, yeah, he's not a quote unquote starter, but he's effectively a quote unquote starter. He does six innings, and he gets
really,
you. If Bernardino does innings one and two, and Pivetta gets you through the seventh or the eighth, what's the difference if Pivetta went through 1-6 and Bernardino was in there to get you through the seventh or the eighth? What's the difference?
Bernardino, just side note, because he was kind of the afterthought last night, but what a find for Heim.
We mentioned it last week, and we'll mention it again.
He just keeps cruising out there.
Listen,
big baller.
Heim Bloom, I know it's very charged one way or the other when you're talking about Heim Bloom. Like, people have very strong opinions about it, and I get it. You got to give him some credit on some of these finds, though. And again, he's not without his warts, I would say, 100%. But, I mean, this is 3 years now where he's found a gem relatively out of nowhere for the bullpen. Whitlock, Schreiber, and now Bernardino, it looks like. You know, a strong lefty option out of the bullpen. He deserves some credit for that.
Yeah, and Bernardino's got team control for, like, a long time.
Yeah, because he's like Dennis Quaid. How old is Bernardino? He's not.
He's like 31. He is 31, and
He's Dennis Quaid in the rookie.
Yeah, the rookie. And he's not a free agent until 29. So,
was he a high school baseball coach before this? Did his teammates put him up to a bet? That's my question.
I mean his
ERA plus
gaudy.
in 31 and 2/3 innings, his ERA plus is 2.06. The FIP is under 3.
His WHIP is almost under 1.
Well, it's not under 1, Jake, is it?
No, it's not. It's 1.011.
Trade him. Can't do anything with that.
33 strikeouts and 31. Whatever, he's not a strikeout guy. You know, strikeout an inning, just about. But he's got 8 walks in 31 innings, which is solid. I'll take that. I love him.
I'm a fan.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show, like, I mean, Heim has placed such an emphasis on the 40-man roster.
Sometimes too
just,
much.
Like, constantly churning, like, the bottom of that roster. I mean, I know we kind of hate it. We're like, some people are always like, oh, he's dumpster diving. But, I mean, as long
I actually wish he would do it more. I think sometimes he gets caught up. And we talked about this maybe last week or the week before. But the Caleb Orts and the Braziers, like, sometimes he gets scared to dump guys because of what happened with, like, Springs or there was somebody else. But,
Definitely Springs.
I don't mind the churn. You know, it's good. It's like, figure out
works.
What you have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joe Jakes is going tonight. He's the opener this evening. And even he, I mean.
He's been good.
Not to the level of Bernardino, but he's looked solid to me as well.
Take what he's
one of the craziest spellings versus pronunciations for a name I've ever seen. Also,
Joe Jacques.
Yeah, Jacques.
Oh, yeah, bonjour.
Jakes. What?
A fellow Jake.
Okay, yeah. So not really, but kind of.
All right, let's take a break right here. All right, let's step away, and we'll get into some more Red Sox talk later in the program. But first, our conversation with one. Or do we want to have the conversation here, or do we want to have it later in the show?
Well, you already... I don't know.
I'll toss it in there now.
You were kind of going for it.
Let's do it now.
All right.
Gary, give the people something.
Yeah, there. Gary Shrycey after the jump.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, Pod on Lansdowne is very pleased to welcome on a very, very special guest. The guy who made a big time at SportsCenter, but early starts at Nesson, you might remember him, Gary Streisky, on the program here. Shout out to Jake for lining up the interview, but shout out more to you, Gary, for coming on and giving us the time. And we're happy to have you here, man.
No, honestly, fellas, thank you so much for having me. I felt like Jake was probably one or two text messages away from like saying mother f this dude and blasting me on Twitter, because he and I have been in the DMs, and I'm like, dude, I'm hopping on the pod, trust me, I'm hopping on the pod. It's just that my schedule is so stupid lately, but I'm gonna hop on the pod. So dude, it's good to be here with the fellas for sure.
Well, full disclosure, if he told you, we can swear on the podcast 100% here. If Jake told you to MF you, I would have told Jake to MF him. I would have been like,
oh, dude, and then there would, right have been some there would have been some infighting, and then the future of the pod would be completely in jeopardy. And I don't want to create that wedge either.
Gary, you're a man of your word. I knew I wasn't worried.
I wasn't gonna let the fellas down. All right.
Gary, I think a lot of people are going to be interested and excited to hear that you're coming on the pod here, because even years after you signed off of Nesson, I see on the timeline on Twitter all the time people, you know, great memories of Gary onto the podcast. So it is good to have you back here in the good graces of Red Sox Nation, looking back at some great times in New England.
Oh, this is incredible, and I still love my roots in Boston, still have family, obviously, on the South Shore. I think there's a lot of people who still think I work at Nesson.
You're like a cult hero.
Yeah, they're like, dude, where you been? Is this like an extended vacay? I think a lot of people still think I'm affiliated somehow, some way, with either Nesson or the Red Sox, which is, of course, a good thing, you know what I mean, having the recollect, even though, as is well documented, it was certainly a rocky road, a rocky beginning before I finally earned the cred.
Well, let's go into that. Let's go into that rocky road. I mean, you start into it. It's a type of dream job for anyone with roots around here. How would you turn that around? And even what were the rocky roads, going back in the day?
Dude, I had no idea. Like, I grew up actually a Red Sox fan in Colorado. Grew up a Red Sox fan, so of course I knew the team. I knew the city because I would visit here in the summertime. My family lives in Marshfield, so I'm, I guess, South Shore. But I didn't know the extent of the fandom and just how much Red Sox fans just hung on every pitch in the middle of July, until I was sitting in the photo well in the middle of July being like, God, it's so hot. I'm sweating out of every orifice in my body, but people were still dialed into every single pitch. And I think it's a testament to the sports-crazed town that Boston is. I think unequivocally, it's the premier sports city in the country. I mean, the passion of the fan. And I was there in such an unreal window from 13 to 17, World Series, Super Bowls. The Celtics weren't that good. Bruins were. It was just an incredible run. So, yeah, I think it's one of those cities, and there's only a handful that if you can earn the respect of the fans there, I mean, that's just as good as payment.
No, 100%. Sorry,
Hold for dramatic pause.
There was a, let that really Gary, sink in.
Yeah. Gary, so you started in 14 doing sideline, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I got hired. Matter of fact, July 18th, I think I'm on like 10 years, like this week that I started at Nesson.
Has it really
so
been
I was there from
long?
July 13 to January of 17. Yeah.
Okay. Nuts. And then you, so that first year you were just in studio?
Yeah. July 13th through middle of July, I was like the Celtics Patriots guy. And then spring training, they sent me down there. And I just thought I was going down just to report on some stuff, you know, give whoever it was a breather. And then like 2 weeks before opening day, they're like, hey, you're going to Baltimore, by the way. I was like, for what? And they're like, for the season?
So, you picking my vacation right now?
Yeah, dude, it was nuts. So it all happened pretty fast. And it's cool to see, you know, Jenny and Will be back, effectively reintroduced back in to, you know, the Red Sox cycle. 10 years later, it's nuts. He's calling games. Obviously, they're happily married with two kids, and I'm friends with them. It's a great time every time I see him. So it's cool that like literally came full circle.
Yeah,
10 years later now.
Working alongside Jenny, who, by the way, fellow UMass alum, go Minutemen.
Hey, listen, shout out to Amherst, dude. I went there one time. It was freaking awesome. Time's enough, dude. One time's enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you in one of the towers in Southwest by any chance? Any of the big five towers there?
I wasn't in any tower. It felt like I was in a wigwam, like these little huts that were just sort of placed every which way. It was freaking nuts. I felt like I was on a campsite.
Really?
I don't know if that makes sense. I don't know if that like rings a bell with anybody.
That's off campus. That's gonna be off campus. Yeah. Mods at BC too. That's a little BC content there, Newton College.
Yeah, it was a good time. I can't talk any more about it.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you opened yourself up to some legal stuff there.
Right. Talking about Jenny,
was she a huge part of helping you out, helping to transition to that day to day covering the team stuff?
Oh yeah, Jenny was cool as hell, and I never met her. You know, I heard about the lore of Jenny Dell. You know, when I was there in July, she was on the road. Of course, they were never in studio for anything. So, of course, I was keeping up with it on Twitter. And, you know, she was a fan favorite. And everybody who I worked with at Nesson was like, yeah, she's great. Of course, she's never here. But I never met her for the longest time. I think the first time I met her was like in February. She came in for something and she was as nice as can be. It was freaking awesome. And then, when like that whole turnover thing happened, she was in Baltimore. She was cool. Yeah, she was cool as heck. And now she's doing big things. I think she's the number one sideline reporter at CBS for their college football Saturdays.
Yeah.
She took over Jamie Erdahl, who's at Good Morning Football. I mean, dude, the Nesson pipeline is ridiculous.
I was going to say, like, that's all Nesson alum.
Yo, the Nesson pipeline is stupid. I mean, my boy Jameson Coyle at NHL Network just holding things down.
Yeah.
Leah Hextall does stuff for our hockey coverage at ESPN. I mean, it's a who's who of who came through.
Catherine Tappan was doing.
Tappan. I never met Catherine Tappan.
Yeah, you two didn't have crossover. I don't think she was.
Never crossed over with Tappan or Nauko. I never crossed over with them.
Nauko.
And I never crossed over with Randy Scott, my boy, the Rand Man. He left like a year before me, which was crazy because when I was at Nesson, people would always be like, hey, do you work with Randy? You guys are a lot alike. And I was like, who's Randy? He sounds awesome and super funny. And then I never met him until like years into ESPN, which again, people would always say, hey, do you know who Randy is? You guys are a lot alike. You guys were both at Nesson. I was like, I've never met this guy. And then I finally did. And the rest is history.
So one of my favorite things when you got during your years was your back and forth with Don and Jerry. Could you just talk a little bit about like kind of your relationship with both of them? Cause that was, I mean, I would have a blast listening to you guys just like, I don't know. I mean, especially those blow, cause a lot of the years, I mean, 14 and 15, the Red Sox were not good. So it was always
so bad. Remember, it was my fault.
Right.
It was because they decided to put me on the sideline. Yeah. Remember, dude, those guys were awesome. They were like cartoon characters in the best way, right? Like Don was just this affable, lovable guy, rosy cheeks, you know, big baritone laugh. Like he was always smiling, he was always laughing. And then Jerry, rest in peace, was, you know, can you hear my dog, by the way? She's like squeaking.
A little bit. Annoying. That's fine. Oh, okay. It's okay.
Homie, come here. Come here. Good girl. Give me
what this. Kind of dog?
Oh, she got her lamb chop. She's a golden doodle.
Homie, come here. Oh, my God. Dude, we're actually, Missy Mopane and I are actually thinking about getting a golden doodle at the, by the end of the year. Oh, my God.
They're the best. No.
Okay, guest appearance.
Yeah, dude. They're,
folks,
they're
it's adorable. You'll just have to believe us.
Audio podcast.
They're awesome. Yeah, she'll be 5 next month. Oh. And then Jerry was this, I mean, you talk about larger than life. I mean, you talk about a legend. You talk about a dude who transcended, especially in Boston, you know, the sport and what it meant to be a Red Sox fan. And, you know, you would get the heads up from the people on the production staff, like, hey, Jerry Remy. He's a legend. He can come off as a bit surly, but like, if he talks shit about you and if he gives you a hard time, that means you're good.
It means he likes you.
It wasn't but a day in. It wasn't but a day in, 2 days in, where he was starting to talk shit, and I was like, I'm in.
Right? I'm in the club.
But it was cool, man. I always treaded lightly with those guys because, I mean, they're an institution. I mean, no matter who it was on the sideline, people weren't there for the sideline banter. They were there for Jerry and Don and me just as equally. Fortunately, I have a front row seat and I would always be able to see them from the photo well, and you can see into the broadcast booth. And it was awesome. I mean, some of those nights being attached to the broadcast when they were on it. Again, like I mentioned earlier, people still think I work at Nesson. People still tweet me every night, you know, during a Sox broadcast, and they'll either send clips or, you know, bring up like an anecdote or like a story from, you know, that 13 to 17 window. It's nuts. It's crazy. Obviously the booth changed and, you know, naturally just has to, and it's in good hands, but yeah, that was a good time.
Were you on the game when Jerry's tooth fell out?
Yes, dude. And bro,
or the lamp game.
Oh my God. The tooth was the funniest thing. I remember they were like, Mike Narachi was the director, and he was like, hey, you got anything? Because they would come down periodically to say, if you want to do like an in-game report. I'm like, dude, even if I had something, you're not coming down to me. But like, Don has his bag and he's got a pair of pliers for whatever
trying
reason.
To put it, you're and like yeah, put it surgery back in.
Dude, open your mouth, like trying to literally rip Jerry's tooth out, bro. It was comedy, man. And it was so organic with them. Nothing was forced. Nothing was scripted. Nothing was staged. Nothing was planned ahead. And to do that 162 times a year, unprompted, and to be able to carry, because obviously this was before the pitch clock. So some of these games were 4.5 hours, yeah. 5 hours. You got to entertain somehow, some way. And those guys did it. Every night, man, it was incredible.
Yeah, and I say it
and not for nothing, because I'm 36, and this was almost 10 years ago. You guys were what? Middle school?
15?
I was in college.
High school?
I was in high school. Yeah.
Oh yeah. My God, dude, yeah. We are getting old.
Oh yeah, we're totally washed.
20s? Yeah, I was like what, yeah. 19 or 20?
Oh yeah, my I'm 27 God, now. Dude. So
holy, so that was like defining moments and summer nights in your guys's lives, right?
100%. You mentioned a couple minutes ago, Gary, like people at the end of the day come for the games on the broadcast, which 100% is true, but to be sitting there on a beautiful July August night when the team is absolute dog shit, for lack of a better term, in 14 and 15, they still give you a reason to tune in. 100%. You know, yeah. Don's going crazy about a lamp he was just given. You know what I mean? I love the lamp one. You know, obviously the Here Comes the Pizza being a timeless classic. Everyone goes about that. The tooth stuff, you name
the
it.
The other night, somebody brought up the other night and sent me a clip about the batch. One of my friends' friends was like, wait, you know Gary Streisky? And then they brought up the bachelor party. The bachelorette party. We had bow ties on for the Red Sox Foundation, and Jerry went and sent me off to find some bachelorette party, and it ended up somebody wasn't supposed to be at this bachelorette party. The clip's on YouTube, and I was like, Jerry kept egging me on. I was like, dude, Jerry, if we keep asking these people questions, I don't think the wedding's going to happen. So let's get back to you in the booth. What's going on down there in the field, man? It was a riot, dude. It was such a good time.
It's a fine line to walk there.
I know. I'm actually super impressed that I never accidentally cussed, that I never accidentally said anything egregious. Dude, it's a hot mic. Obviously, you guys watch. There's no lag. You know, there's no delay. It's, dude, you're hot. If you're working, you're hot. So I'm glad I've never done that. I've yet to do that, you know, in my career. You know,
so a week from now, when you drop 15 F-bombs on SportsCenter, yes. We'll be like, oh, well, we jinxed that one.
Yeah, hey, listen, you can cuss on TV once.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, go ahead. It's the first time, and it'll probably be the last time, depending on what you say. But I don't know. We just hired Pat McAfee, so maybe.
Right, yeah,
maybe,
he did.
Yeah.
Maybe the strings get a little bit loosened. I don't know.
Have you already started working with McAfee? What's he like working
with?
Yeah,
I was actually in L.A. last week, which is why I couldn't hop on last week. But I was at the ESPYs. So McAfee did the monologue. He did the opener. And then he was on a couple of the shows that I was out there hosting. So like the preview show, the red carpet show, he popped on. He was cool. And then I've kind of worked with him, you know, segment wise, just sort of throughout the years, whether it's on a Saturday morning and he's contributing on game day, or just like, you know, around national championship time, because everybody is on site for those games. So it's a who's who of, you know, who you're working with.
Gary, no, I wanted to ask, because good timing with this, on the 4th of July, you had a special day.
Dog. Oh my God.
You were America's, you were an American hero on the 4th of July.
You're like Walter Cronkite.
I don't know if I was an American hero or an American goat. The entire country was mad at me because of the weather. Bro, my timeline lit up like a Christmas tree, bro. I was just chilling here with my girlfriend. It was mad rainy. And then it was just tweet, text, 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 text.
We want glizzies.
Did you know that?
It wasn't until the text started.
Yo, Liam, it's because we taped that show a week earlier. So that show was taped. It was pre-taped. And it aired a couple of days afterward. And it gets airtime, you know, to fill time late at night or between shows, which is whatever. And then I just started getting hit up, and I actually had COVID 4th of July, which is stupid. Oh. Who gets COVID anymore? So I'm just chilling, like just big chilling. We were doing a Harry Potter marathon because it was like mad rainy. Anyway, the texts start going off, and it was from people who I haven't heard from in years. And I'm like, huh, okay. And then I'd open up the text, and they'd be like, yo, me and my whole family just clicked over to ESPN to watch the hot dog eating contest. Why am I looking at your stupid face? And I'm like,
oh, no.
So then I click over to the SportsCenter, and Matt Barry's like filling. And I was supposed to do SportsCenter that day, but COVID, I was on the 5-day DL. And Barry's like filling time because they're in a weather delay. But prior to that, it was the ESPY show. And dude, my phone was lit. So thank God that Joey the Jaw was saying, hey, we're going to go do this thing. Otherwise, I would have been.
What a beautiful moment.
Yeah, the unofficial 2023 Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Champion, bro. That was a good time, though. That was a good time. Hey, listen, man, if I can withstand the ire of Red Sox Nation hating me on opening day of 2014, I can withstand the entire
country.
The
hot dog fans. What are the hot dog fans at that point, right?
The entire country being like, who is this guy? Get him off my TV.
I mean, imagine how many people saw your face that morning.
A lot of people.
People care about those hot dog contests.
They really do. And I had a juicy take. I had a juicy take on the show that I was getting. I was catching strays from the juicy take that I had. And in retrospect, I stand by it, but it was best championship performance. And the nominees were like Max Verstappen, Lionel Messi. Gosh, there was one more. And then Rose Zhang, who was a professional LPGA golfer, just turned pro, had the longest consecutive streak at number one in the history of amateur golf. And in the show, I said, it's hard to believe that we can say Rose Zhang is the best golfer to come out of Stanford, knowing that Tiger Woods.
I was going to say one very specific one guy.
So I was getting crushed. I'm gonna open it up to the floor. Boys, would you have chirped me for saying that? And listen, I stand by what I said. She was at number one for like 154 weeks. The caveat is Tiger Woods didn't stay in college that long. He turned pro real quick. And that's why he doesn't have that record. But I was just like, yo, I'm going to make a splash. Rose Zhang came out weeks at number one and then won her first LPGA event. So I was like, all right, I'll vote for her.
Sure.
I don't think I would have chirped you. It's a provocative take, but
it is.
It's I a appreciate provocative it. Take. I like the spiciness.
I like that.
You're
I
in
like
the business of takes, Gary. You're in the takes business.
Listen, it's not a hot take. It was a mild take. It was borderline warm, but okay. That's where I'm at.
It's the Charles Barkley meme. We are going to start a dialogue. That's what you're doing. You got to appreciate
it. It's just kind of an open discussion, just kind of friendly discourse amongst brethren.
We're pals.
Okay.
Colleagues.
In the marketplace of ideas, you know? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Looking back at your time with Nessa, now that you here are, you know, within, you know, the worldwide leader, what do you think are some of like the biggest lessons that you've learned, biggest takeaways that you've had that you've been able to implement there in Connecticut doing that, whether it's the standard Sports Center show, the Snapchat stuff, you name it?
Man, I would always get told like, dude, you're trying so hard. Dude, what are you doing? Like, be a pro, you're trying hard. And I'm like thinking to myself when I'm getting these tweets, I'm not trying hard at all. Not in the I'm not trying hard to do good at my job, but I think I really
yourself.
Yeah, I think my time at Nessen solidified to me more than any time leading up to that point that like, all right, I'm a little bit different. I have a little bit different of an approach. I think I connect with viewers a little bit differently and I just have to lean into it, man. And I think I've sort of taken that from Nessen to ESPN. Where I get the same comments, whether it was – I still do SportsCenter Snapchat. So whether it's on Snapchat or whether it's on Linear SportsCenter, I just think, like, having this conversation between us, it's like a free-flowing convo, and I can't differentiate having a conversation like this but then having to be a different person on TV, right? So it's just, like, you get what you get. Some people are going to like it. Some people won't. But at the end of the day, I think everything sort of evens out and I come out hopefully a little bit ahead. So I think Nessen kind of helped me confirm sort of like my identity in this broadcast field.
And not for nothing, like I know speaking for myself, watching SportsCenter as a kid, and I'm sure you'd say the same in the 90s, like the approach of a Stuart Scott, of a Dan Patrick, you know, they were doing their own thing. And now
correct.
Looking back years later, obviously Stuart Scott, rest in peace, Dan Patrick, Chris Berman, all those guys, you name it, like they're held in such a high regard.
Yeah. I'm still scared. Like when I see Chris Berman at events to go say hi to him, like I've said hi to him in passing, but I've yet to be like, hey, Chris Berman, I'm Gary Streisky and I work at ESPN. I don't know, dude. He's just like one of those guys that I grew up watching. It was him. And it was Tom Jackson, not Tom Jackson. Yeah. Tom Jackson, like NFL Sundays, man. Like that was me growing up. And, I kind of have him in that sort of high esteem. So I should probably get over it and be like, yo, what's up, Boomer?
I get what you're saying. He's one of those guys that it's like he's not a real person to you almost.
Yeah,
he's like a mythological.
No, he's not a real person. Bumbling, stumbling, in good, go. Oh, I mean, everything that's come out of that dude's mouth, man, is legendary. And the thing with him is he's transcended like generational gaps, whether it's Gen X, Boomers, Millennials, Gen Z even knows who he is, which is saying something. And I think for me, it's crazy that like millennials now we're the ones aging up. And the references that we're using on SportsCenter are dated references that millennials will get. And maybe if Gen Z's watching, they're like, what? Who's Nelly?
All right. Which is unreal because Nelly had such a run in the aughts,
who's
man.
Who's the rubber band man? T.I.? What do you mean? Who's G Unit? Like, what?
Weezy F, baby?
I gotta imagine, like, you're doing the Snapchat stuff. Gen Z must be brutal on there.
No, actually, Gen Z's super, like, I feel good about, like, the direction we're going. They're so nice and accommodating. Like,
beautiful. I would have said the other way.
Yeah.
All Gen Z is wholesome. Like, oh, man, I really enjoyed the show, man. You're so fun. That was so funny. Ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, dude, Gen Z is where it's at. They're so open-minded and cool. Just about like going well, with the flow.
The
cool.
References you must have to make, like, they're like, I mean, you can make it from your, what the references that they would relate to, it changes like in a week and a half. Like, something becomes dated so quickly.
I feel like on SportsCenter Snapchat, I am a Disney movie for adults. So I'll make references on SportsCenter Snapchat that maybe Gen Z doesn't get, but a light bulb might click months from now, years from now. They're like, oh, I've heard that before. But if you're like, you know, mid-20s and up watching, you're gonna get the reference, like those references that we get in Disney movies that are
yeah,
like,
yeah, the
oh,
jokes for
oh,
parents who brought their kids
yeah
out.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Jokes for parents, because Snapchat's like, it's our youngest demographic at ESPN, but you still got cats like me watching, you know, in their 30s in their 40s in their 50s. It's crazy.
Now that we're on the topic, just really quickly off the top of your head, top three Disney movies, now that I'm curious.
Mulan.
Gosh, put him on the spot like that.
No. It's Mulan. Does Pixar count?
Yes.
Yeah, let's count it.
Dark Horse, Bolt.
Bolt.
Ooh. I really like
that. Was
really
like John Travolta and Miley.
That is,
right?
That's John Travolta and Miley, yeah.
Oh my god, what's
up? Snail?
Bolt's the dog. He's a white dog.
Bolt's the dog. Okay. Yeah, I'm going Mulan, Bolt, and let me see. Bolt.
Oh my gosh.
Lion King's too obvious. Toy Story's too obvious.
Toy Story 2 is better than
I was going to say, a Toy Story sequel is the real answer. Yeah. That's where it's at.
That's the inspired pick.
I like the Incredibles.
Oh, yeah. Incredibles is great.
Oh,
absolutely.
No, time out. Dude, I'm a big Pocahontas fan. I like Pocahontas.
Wow.
I do like Pocahontas, yeah. The soundtrack goes crazy.
100% Colors of the Wind.
Colors of the Wind, yeah.
We'll cry to a blue corn moon.
Beautiful. I will defend.
Shed a tear.
I will defend Hercules to the death. I'm a big Hercules guy.
Yeah. You got Michael Bolton on the track.
Most certain. Go Hercules the distance, dude. Are you kidding me?
All right, so hold on. Round robin. What are the? Give us the top three. Fitz,
all right,
you go first.
All right, so I'm always gonna say like it's you know the point, like Rocky 1 is a better film than Rocky 4, but Rocky 4 is probably a better movie than Rocky 1. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Rocky 4 is just fun, you know, but like a better
just answer the question.
Piece of art. So the point is that like Lion King is in my top three, but Lion King is probably a better film than Hercules, but I like Hercules more. So that's one and two there. And then to throw in some Pixar love, I am a huge defender of Finding Nemo. Finding Nemo is probably top three for me. I mean,
which
obviously,
is incredible.
A lot of it's what you grew up with, so I would say that's in my top three.
And the fact that Finding Nemo is like 20 years old now.
At this point, I think
nuts.
It was
2003. Yeah.
Is nuts.
Sharkbait, ooh-ha. I mean, that's
all right, so
timeless.
I'm a Pixar guy through and through. I love Pixar. It was like, those were my, because I'm a 99 baby. So I
Holy
was.
Shit.
So I was like a kid in those golden Pixar years, you know, like
dude.
So Finding Nemo is probably one of mine, and then I adore Toy Story 2.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
When She Loved Me will still bring a tear to my eye.
Oh gosh,
like
I don't know.
Thrills.
Probably The Incredibles, but it could be Monsters Inc.
Monsters Inc is good.
Welcome to the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Monsters Inc is good. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go any Pixar. Sorry, Jake.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm gonna go.
Give us the classics.
Yeah.
He's like,
Fantasia.
Pinocchio.
Yeah, exactly.
Fox and the Hound.
Fox and the Hound. That's a tearjerker.
Yeah.
God, I'll probably go Hercules. Mulan and Tarzan.
Oh, Tarzan
soundtrack is insane.
Oh, Phil Collins. Dude, just yeah.
Some ISO characters, dude. Hell yeah.
Yeah. The Rosie O'Donnell gorilla.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
Turk.
Yeah.
I think
Turk. That sounds right.
Turk.
Yeah. Dude, funny story about Mulan.
Thought you were going to say Rosie O'Donnell. I was like,
what's the deal with Rosie? when they made the live action of Mulan, which, by the way, I think objectively speaking, was the worst live action Disney movie they've ever done.
Most of them are not good.
I haven't seen it, so I was worried he was going to say
it. Beauty and the Beast is really good.
The Jungle Book one, I actually thought was good as well.
Very good.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken as Mulan. They were shooting in New Zealand when I started at ESPN. I started ESPN March of 18, and I think they were just about to start shooting. And I was meeting with my boss, who actually I golfed with this morning, and he's no longer head of Snapchat. He's on the ESPN Plus side. But I just floated this idea, and I said, hey, live-action Mulan. I'm like one of a handful of Asian guys at ESPN. What are the odds that, like, are the odds that they'll put me in the movie as an extra and we can use it as like SportsCenter Snapchat content? He was like, that's an awesome idea. I know just the person to ask. So he ran it up. We have this group called Synergy, because of course everything's under the Disney umbrella.
Yeah.
And Synergy obviously is what
it is.
Love
that corporate
different
group, synergy. Love
different
it.
Groups working together. So he ran it up the Synergy pipeline and was like, gave him a one sheet as to why they should fly me to New Zealand.
Right
where
to
they
Iger.
Were shooting the movie.
Give it right to Iger.
Yep.
Yeah,
like, hey, get this on Iger's desk pronto. And they shot it up the chain of command to get me as an extra for Mulan, which obviously didn't happen because, of course, that would be all over my social medias and you guys would know about it. But it did die a death on somebody's desk where they're like, who? And what? You want to go where?
Who?
For who? Yeah,
Gary Struz?
Yeah, like, dude, this guy hasn't even got out of his 90-day probation period yet. You want us to put him in a movie?
He's not even on the healthcare plan yet. Like,
Gary, do you get to do any stuff like on the like Hollywood side, ever, like any crossover stuff like that?
No crossover side like that. But we have the Synergy group, and I have like one of the coolest things I've done was when Mandalorian came out, you know, we do like the Disney ESPN commercials, and I got to play the Mandalorian in a commercial. It was pretty sick.
Like, did you wear the suit?
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh
no
yeah.
Shit.
That was pretty sick. I was in a commercial with Kenny Mayne, and that was pretty lights out.
That's gotta be.
It's gotta be somewhere.
Yeah, the commercial's somewhere, and if you go down far enough, it's like October of 2019 is when October 2020.
Okay.
Well, that might have been season. That might have been season two.
Yeah,
then
season two. Yeah.
It might have been. Yeah, yeah. It was season two, but October 2020. I went down. Like the shoot was in New York, and. Yeah, I got to dress up in the costume. It was sick.
That's amazing.
I'd never shut up about that. Was it like was it like heavy? Like it was the real legit?
Okay, you're asking
it was like Party
right?
City.
I'm sorry, no. I didn't know if they got you.
Industry secret, dude. I can't. No, it wasn't. It was like costume stuff. Oh. Like the helmet was real.
I was wondering how you see out of those helmets.
Plastic.
So that stuff happens. That stuff comes around.
That's cool.
Every once in a while, or you know, if a Disney movie or an MCU movie is coming out, you know, they'll have some sort of crossover, like Synergy stuff. They'll incorporate some of the ESPN folks into the branding, and it'll be like a commercial. So that's some of that stuff has happened before.
Yeah, there you go. All for the brand, baby. All for the mouse.
Yeah.
All for the mouse.
The mouse.
Yeah.
Pivot and go completely back to where we started, but I do know that we had some other Red Sox related questions, and it's a Red Sox related show.
Yeah.
So I wanted to turn back onto that. And Liam, I know you had a couple yourself. I don't know what direction you want to go with.
I did. I know Jake and I shared one in particular. We were we were super curious about. So you, this was, this was something that laid low for a long time. And I think it maybe came out after you had left Nessun. But
shit, I'm interested now too.
The Twitter account,
this is a dark secret here.
The Twitter account, Anley's Helmet. You got to tell that story, because that was
That's your Mona Lisa.
Yeah, we were like, who is this guy? We all follow. I mean, I remember the account like it was yesterday. And then the one day, I don't know if it was like Carabas was just like, yeah, it's Gary.
Jared blew the whistle.
He blew your cover. Yeah,
dude. He was a. He leaked the documents. Yeah, dude, it was me. I mean, everybody remembers when Hanley. I mean, he showed up to spring training when he had a position change and he didn't have his own glove, dude. Like, so.
I did not.
Yeah, so I mean, his like his equipment fiascos were well documented, and it became a thing, right, where he couldn't keep his helmet on. And I, the executives at Nessun were watching my Twitter account like a hawk.
So oh, I can
you know, you, the,
what
the,
a nightmare.
The thing that they said when you worked at Nessun is you report for the Red Sox, not on the Red Sox. There's a very, specific distinction, right? So even if it was in good fun and lighthearted, right? Like, we weren't allowed to say, when Pablo Sandoval was there, we weren't allowed to say the word panda, like, on air.
What?
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really? That wasn't that his, wasn't that his,
yeah,
that
was, yeah. His,
Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah, but I always thought it was, like, cool. He was down with it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, his documented, you know, people would bring up
on
his
the
weight.
Phone.
You probably weren't allowed to say belt either when talking about
Sandoval. No accessories are to be mentioned. So when it wasn't like this for the broadcast, but I know you guys remember Nessun Sports Today. It was the news and information show, like games, kind of like SportsCenter, but for, you know, Nessun. Yeah. We weren't allowed to call him Panda. We weren't allowed to reference him as the Panda. It was just Pablo Sandoval.
That's
I
always
that's
could
crazy.
You was there other stuff? I mean, you know, whatever you can say, but like, were there other heavy things like that with other guys?
No, I mean,
that's just so interesting, because I always thought he was, that was like his thing, you know, like he was
the
down.
The Giants used to sell like panda
we sold
hats.
Those. We had
Did
those
we?
Were
well,
in the
I mean,
Fenway
yeah,
store.
That's when the Giants were winning World Series with him, and it was like, oh, look at the lovable panda. But then it was with the Red Sox, and like, look at the panda, ew. You know, that's how. And of course, it was. You know, this was when, before Jared made the heel turn. He was, you know, hammering this dude every day, all the time. Yeah. Right? So it was just like, we aren't going to add fuel to the fire. And I think, I've said this, I think Jared's the best voice for baseball in the country back then, even now. So that stuff was getting so much traction, and Nessun was like, you can't refer to him as a panda. So anyway.
That's so funny.
I say that to say, what was the question?
Hanley's helmet.
Hanley's helmet. So the Hanley's helmet thing, it would fall off, and I was like, well, I don't want to get in trouble from tweeting from my own account, even though it was like stupid stuff. I miss you. We're so attached, but no more. Whatever the hell I was tweeting. So, yeah, man, I would just tweet, you know, just toggle over from account to account. I mean, I was watching it as it was happening. People were talking about it. So, yeah, I was just toggling over. And then I left Nessun. And I think that summer I was bored. And I was like, oh, by the way, I was Hanley's helmet. And
is the account still up?
Took the mask off.
Oh, it is. It is still up. Yeah.
Oh, is it?
It is.
Oh, you know, I don't have
access
to it anymore.
Yeah, you tweeted September 28th, 2015. You admitted it was you.
Oh my gosh! So September? In 2015?
Yeah. So you were still there.
All right.
Oh, so I was still there. Oh, I must have deleted all the stuff that I thought was bad before. Before I admitted it was me.
The final tweet. I'll read it to you. It was on May 31st, 2018. That might have been right when they cut him, actually.
Yeah, it had to have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
You said, I miss what we used to have. at Hanley Ramirez. That was it.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Oh, you know what? No, Hanley. I think May 25th, 2018, they cut him because you tweeted in all caps, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. Right. Do you remember that when, like they were on a road trip and he had a megaphone out in front of Fenway right before hopping on the bus?
They were, like,
yeah, they
like
cut
us.
Him that day.
He was like, "Hey guys, like, what? Thanks for showing the sport. We'll be back soon. We love you. Like, oh, I love being a Red Sox. It's awesome."
And then he just disappeared. He was just
well, Gary, do you remember gone. When he got
later that summer?
He was caught
like
up
drug
in
charges,
in like,
right?
Yeah, thought it was El Chapo.
No, they thought he was like a kingpin for a slight.
Allegedly,
and then it turned out, yeah.
Yeah, it ended up some guy was actually involved in the drug trade, like knew him, but he was like, "No, I know Hanley, and he's my friend." Yeah.
Hanley just allegedly moving weight, dude, in between ABs.
I'll be frank. I wanted it to be true. I thought it would have been really funny if there was an active drug lord playing for the Red Sox. That's
for sure.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Holy hell! What
that,
an absolute
that
merch liability.
Would have gone crazy.
Crazy, dude.
Unbelievable.
Oh, that's amazing.
Gary, did you have I mean, you don't have to pick a favorite, but maybe a Mount Rushmore or something of guys like that you liked interacting – players that you liked interacting with when you were around the team?
I mean, David Ortiz still to this day is the greatest, like the coolest superstar I've ever met in any sport. I remember it was me, Pete Abe, somebody else. We were in Minnesota or we were in Baltimore. And we were talking about Torii Hunter for some reason. And David Ortiz basically associated himself with me, Peter Abraham, instead of Torii Hunter. He was like, "Man, Torii Hunter is such and such and such. Must be nice for a guy like that. Am I right, boys?" It was something along those lines where he likened himself to just a regular dude.
That's
not just
so
a regular
good.
Dude, but he was like, "Me and you, Gary, am I right?" So
yeah.
He was so cool, but he like I think swag is thrown around way too easy and often. But that dude was like my first real, like the real definition of it. It was him. The way he would walk in. I've told this story before, it's the Lamborghini story. So we pull up in Tampa. And we would stay at this awesome resort in Tampa, and there was this brand new white Lamborghini Aventador out front. And I was like, "Damn, that car is sick." And David's like, "Oh yeah, no, that's mine." And I was like, "Oh, that's sick. Why is it here?" And he goes, "Oh, I bought it last year. I haven't seen it yet. So I have," because he lived in Miami. He would get a house in Miami. God. So he bought it in Miami. He was like, "Oh, I bought it last year. I haven't seen it yet. So I had him bring it up from Miami. I want to drive it this weekend." And I was like, "Damn, that's sick. Can I drive it tomorrow to the park? Like just goofing around." And he was like, "Yeah, for sure. Yeah." He was like, "Yeah, for sure. Meet me in the lobby tomorrow." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, okay, David Ortiz, I'm going to drive your Lamborghini." So next day I go to the park. I'm riding the shuttle and I get to the clubhouse. And then a couple minutes later, David Ortiz walks in the clubhouse and he was like, "Gary, where were you?" I was like, "What do you mean?" He was like, "I thought you were driving us today." And I was like, "Wait, what?" So he was serious. He was gonna let me push the whip, dude.
Right, go swear to the park.
So I mean, thank God I didn't. I would have put it into a wall, bro. Like
I was gonna say, I'd be so beyond
nervous. I'd be terrified.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like I'm gonna breathe on it the wrong way, right?
Just an example of him being like, "Yeah, no, for sure, all good. We're both going to the same place. You might as well drive." He was just like so cool. But man, he was cool. Mookie was cool because we got Mookie. Like I was there for Mookie's debut.
And Mookie
right?
came up 2014. Yeah,
2014 in Kansas City, I want to say, because
Bronx.
He was.
It was the Bronx.
Was in New York. Okay, maybe then.
Jake, did you just swell actually Gary Streisky?
Yeah, I did.
No, I need the correction. So maybe in Kansas City what happened was, because of course he was a middle infielder, and I think maybe then we were in Kansas City when Farrell put him in the outfield for the first time. Does that make sense? Does that check out?
That makes sense.
Maybe.
Your guess is as good as ours.
So we were in KC, and I think that's when he was like, yeah, we're going to put Mookie in the outfield. And we were like, huh? He's a second baseman. And he was like, yeah, he's an athlete. He'll figure it out. And obviously, he figured it out. So that was kind of cool to see that. And then Brock Holt, he's just like a Brock Holt's like a folk hero. This is like my Mount Rushmore when I was there getting to interact with players, right? So it was Ortiz, it was Mookie, it was Brock Holt.
My girlfriend is the foremost Brock Holt authority. That's her North Star favorite player.
Oh, he's the man.
I was gonna
ask. I mean, we talked about Ortiz. I mean, you got a front row seat to Ortiz's final season, but you also had a front row seat to the summer of Brock Holt in 2014.
What was more magical? All star. I mean, listen, I don't remember David Ortiz ever hitting for the cycle. All right.
That's true. It's true.
It's a good point.
I think in 2015, he was like our lone all-star, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was the only
one. That was the all-star game in Cincinnati. And we were like, damn, this sucks.
That's a lovely city, Gary. Come on.
No, Cincinnati rocks. Walk the Moon performed. And that was when it was like,
Shut up and dance was the big one.
Oh,
yeah, that song. And that band is from Cincinnati. Before. So the stars just aligned that they, you know, performed. That was a good time. Man, it was really cool traveling with the team because I was 20 something and traveling with the squad. And we would obviously be places for nights on end. And half of the cities that we would go to, the hotels would be attached or within like a 5-minute Uber to a casino. And that's where we would spend a lot of nights. Yeah, we spent a lot of nights in casinos. That was a good time.
Any high rollers that you play.
I'm not saying that maybe that's the reason why that particular team finished dead last. There were certainly nights when it was like 4 a.m. and we were in the high roller room and I'm like, we got to be at the park in like 6 hours. We should probably leave. You know what I mean? It would just be like a player in the high roller room at like 3-4 a.m. I'm like, damn, all right, well, I'm going to chalk that one up to an 0-4 tomorrow.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatever team's about to take us by in the woodshed with that one. You could probably have your suspicions as to who the player would be, but we don't have to throw anyone under the bus there.
There was one night, and this was a different story, but like my first eye-opening, like baseball money is just different.
Yeah. I was going to say you're in the high roller room with those guys.
No, like, so I was I'm not, playing one,
you know,
two,
you're financials, no, was, Gary, but you're not David I was, Ortiz. No,
I was going in there to watch. I was going in there as purely an observer. But I would play like 1-2 no limit with like Jackie Bradley and Alex Wilson and Joe Kelly. Like that's
cool. Alex Wilson would throw I'd that. Play.
Yeah, right.
Alex Wilson, dude. Cool guy, dude. Cool dude. Yeah. He was awesome. But one night in Pittsburgh, stumbled into the high roller room and it's Mike Napoli playing $10,000 hand blackjack.
So I wasn't going to say anything. Yeah. I was expecting Napoli.
I was going to say that's the guy.
I've seen him with the shirt off picture after the World Series. Yeah. I have my suspicions.
That guy could party. He could party.
It was awesome. I mean, just like, see his glasses. Before we go on road trips. Yeah. Before we go on road trips, like all the fellas would like be just putting wads of cash in their backpack. Before we got onto the bus, dude, it was like, yo, if you lost his backpack and somebody found it, that person who found it, financial freedom.
Generational wealth.
Generational wealth.
Oh, my God.
I'm saying, dude, it was and for me, who I think I was making it nesting, I don't know, like my first year, like 80,000 bucks. These guys were packing triple that in a backpack for a road trip.
That is crazy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was nuts. It was nuts. So it was good times, though. Good times.
Yeah,
though.
It sounds like
I can't believe I can't believe anybody wants to hear these stories like 10 years later, right?
Of course.
Jemai's been holding things down for the last handful of years.
Jemai. We love Jemai.
We'll get Jemai. We should get Jemai on the program.
The booth is turned over. Garen was right after me. Yeah, man. But, I mean, I know that it was 10 years ago, damn near. But talking about it. doesn't feel like it was really that long ago.
How often do you get back to around Fenway? Because there was one time, I think it was 19. I don't know if you recall it. I think you were with Steve Peralt and Jemai at the basement of the tavern. Rest in peace, Baseball Tavern.
Dude, RIP the Baseball Tavern, but what about that expansion they got going on around the Fenway area?
The Fenway Corners.
That's coming, yeah.
Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, I don't know how long it's going to take.
$1 billion? Yeah, it's going to take, yeah.
It's a whole big thing.
It's construction in Boston. It'll take forever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's the second big gig is what they're calling it. I'm actually in Boston quite a bit. Last year I made it to 3 games. I was out there for they asked me to come back for the Jerry remembrance, and that was really nice. And then I was back for the Jimmy Fund.
I was going to say probably Jimmy Fund around this, which
I was back
up.
For the Jimmy Fund, and I think I was back for like another like random game. But I tried to get back.
Like the beginning of August, usually, or like middle of August.
It's coming up.
I think it's it's like late August.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
I don't know if they're going to invite me back because in the off season I tweeted something not so nice. So they maybe probably saw it. We're like, you know what, Gary?
About the Jimmy Fund?
No.
I was like, Jerry. Okay. Jerry, what did they do?
Jake, point of clarity. Thank you. Thank you for bringing this up. Quite important point of clarity. This was like in the offseason fiasco where we didn't sign anybody and it was like, we don't need Xander. We don't need this person. We're not going to sign that person. And I think I was like, dude, this is poverty franchise. This is poverty franchise dealings. So,
which, like, hey, you know, it made sense, you know. But if you can't say Pablo on Nesson or Panda rather on Nesson, you know,
it is what it is. So, you know, maybe they weren't too happy with that. But I would love an invite back because I was kind of just saying what everybody else was thinking. All right, with not paying Xander, but I get back a handful of times a year.
How many times do people notice you and say like things to you like, hey, no, loved you back in the day on Nesson?
Bro, every single time I'm back, some people are like, shouldn't you be down there in the photo? Well, dude, where's your Nesson, Mike? You know,
yeah.
People still like, dude, half the time people think I still work at Nesson. And
has any
like
boomer, has any like old man ever had the balls to be like, I didn't like you very much on.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Dude, really?
Oh no.
That is so unbelievable.
So rude.
It wasn't as blatant as that. But I remember getting on a plane. I was getting on a plane and some guy recognized me and he was like, "Oh yeah, no,
his name was David Price."
DP was pretty cool. DP's a cool dude, but this guy, like, we're walking, we're like boarding. And he's like, oh, yeah, I recognize you from the Red Sox. Yeah, no, cool, cool, cool. And he actually, he didn't have anything bad to say about the sideline reporting stuff. He was like, yeah, that kid show that you do, not my cup of tea.
Clubhouse? Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. He goes,
oh, no.
He goes, he was like, yeah, that kid show you do is a bit cringe, but you do a good job on the game. And I'm like, dude, the
how old
show
is this guy, Gary?
Yeah, that guy was like a guy who had a kid that was probably supposed to be on the show. You know what I mean?
That guy sitting down in his chair at 10 a.m. on Saturday. He's like, I can't wait. That's in Kids
Sundays.
Clubhouse.
Sundays, excuse me.
I was in my I'm a little bit more highbrow than Ness in Clubhouse.
So I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, bro. Like that's a child show where we count pizza boxes. You know? Like, I don't know what you want me to tell you, man.
A little silly for me.
Yeah.
Gary, I wanted to ask you a question. So you experienced something that I think a lot of men and anybody, I guess, dream of, the Gatorade
male
shower.
Pattern baldness. No,
the male pattern, that too. The Gatorade shower. It's not, you know, not for you, but you're in them.
You're caught in
those
crossfire.
Are cool, dude. What's those are cool.
Like?
Okay.
And do you have a favorite flavor to get showered with?
I'm gonna tell you this right now. Expose a little industry secret. All right.
Oh no.
You can see it coming. You want to stay in it long enough to get in the picture. All right. Whether it was
sense.
And I want to say, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was sort of that team that kind of started that with like the sideline reporters sort of being involved, and then it kind of extrapolated into Garen and then TC.
Yeah, I was gonna say because poor Garen got
now, everybody gets it.
Yeah, 13, that World Series team. I remember there was a ton. It was like Jamie Erdahl and Jenny Dell.
Jemai gets it. So So the first couple times, no idea, right? Because sometimes your back is turned, and some of those guys, like Hanley, would just throw the bucket from the dugout. You're like, dude, damn, bro. Like, you spilled all of it before it got to us. So the first couple times, didn't know. But then you position yourself, and then you can see it out of the periphery. You're like, oh, dude, here it comes.
Yeah.
Here it comes. And then you sort of duck into the picture. Like, you're kind of trying to avoid You're in the pick, and then you're falling out of it. It's cool, dude. It's cool, man, because that's just, like, a moment that gets captured forever. And for those players, it's, you know, a dime a dozen. But for somebody who gets to experience that at a professional level, even though you're not the main subject of it, it's a good time. Except having to, like, go home all sticky. Like,
well, that's what I was
going to
mean.
Does it what happens after the suits?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like, my girlfriend at the time, she lived in the North End. So I would just, like, go to her house afterward, and I would just be, like, super sticky and hot and humid. And I'm like, hey.
Why do I smell lemon lime Gatorade?
And then, yeah, and then a lot of blue.
That's what I was gonna. That's the most refreshing Gatorade. I mean, that's
that was a
fact.
Big blue. That was a big blue team, and it wasn't Gatorade. It was Powerade.
Which is interesting because Fenway is Coca-Cola,
but Powerade is owned by
Powerade Coca-Cola.
Yep.
No.
Oh, yep. I thought Powerade was Pepsi.
Powerade is.
Yeah. Coke. And then MLB, I think is MLB is Powerade, right? Major League Baseball.
Believe so.
It's league wide. Anyway, a lot of blue.
A lot of blue.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of blue.
Yeah. Well, that's
my favorite.
They did bobbleheads for that, didn't they?
Yeah. Great bobblehead set.
Yeah.
Triple.
Yeah.
Mookie, Benny, and Xander all gone. What, Gary, did you, what is your favorite sports drink flavor? Gatorade, Powerade.
Dude, I like, I got yellow Gatorade at the crib. And I've tweeted this before. Lemon Gatorade is a good thirst quencher, like, for its intended purpose. But it doubles also as, I think, the best casual flavor. If you're not physically exerting yourself, I think lemon Gatorade is good with dinner.
That's good.
I think it's good as a casual drink. I think it's good in the morning. I think it's good at night. I think it's good in a mix. I think it's as good as a chase. Lemon lime Gatorade is multifaceted. It's a five-tool player.
Yep.
You're not saying that about orange, even though orange is good. You're not saying that about
I feel like you only drink orange when you're sick.
You're not
orange
saying
little,
that about grape
orange has a little
cherry.
Too much tang for me, the orange.
Yeah. Don't get me
Gary,
started
I'm gonna,
on
I'm gonna put you on. I'm going to put you on to something. Mix lemon lime Gatorade, yellow, and light blue. It's
I do
changing.
Like the light blue. I've never
the
tried
mix,
it.
That sounds like, the mix is special.
That sounds like a little Incredible Hulk, dude. Hypnotic.
Yeah, it turns green. Yeah, it's it's real good. I saw it on TikTok.
Jungle juice.
Somebody on TikTok did it.
Yeah,
I was like, oh,
yeah. And then dump a fifth of Everclear.
Everclear.
Tipsy bartender.
Yeah. Tipsy bartender.
You ever seen that guy, Gary? The tipsy bartender? It's this. What is he? I guess
he's like a YouTuber.
He's African, I think, and he just takes like a tub, and he just dumps various.
He makes like jungle juice, right? A lot of
But like to the 10th. I mean, it's more than jungle juice.
A lot of orange based gallons, right?
Yeah. like blue curacao, like stuff like that.
I have seen that guy.
I'm a big fan
dangerous.
Of his work.
Dangerous. Yeah. Big absolutely. Fan of his work, as in his videos or his drinks.
Yeah, I can't say I've had one of his drinks, but I like his videos.
Both.
Gary, are you on a time crunch at all?
No.
No? All right, cool. I wanted to ask you, Gary, this has been eating away at me for 5 years now almost. How did you swing a float at the 18 parade?
Dog, how? Dude, no idea. First of all. All
right.
First of all,
case closed.
The fact that you're calling it a float when I was literally just sitting.
Yeah,
in
what
the
was
back
it? It was like
truck.
A. Yeah.
I was just sitting in the back of a truck by myself. It was the media truck, and they had.
But you were alone, right?
Still
you were literally
out.
It was just
they, yeah. They had concocted like bleachers, like three little bleacher sections, but everybody I was with, they were still photographers, so. Once we got on the parade path, they hopped out. I was getting content for Snapchat. But then people started chanting my name, and for a second there, I was like, is this parade for me?
That's what you passed me and Howie, you know, Howie was, we saw
yeah,
you.
Dude, what a legend.
You'll be happy you said that.
Friend of the program.
Howie's a great guy, dude. His dad is just like
third.
Lives...
You met third?
Dude, his pops just lives at River Highlands.
Yeah, he does.
Insane.
He's retired. He got a hole in one.
Like recently?
Yeah,
did get one because now he has a plaque at the.
Yeah, he has a plaque. Yeah,
58th Street Grill or whatever it's called.
Yeah, I remember for the parade, you passed in front of us, and we were like, "Is that get like? Why is he alone?" Like, it literally did look like it was a parade
for
you.
It probably looked equal parts like super pitiful and sad, like, oh, he's like all by himself, but also like kind of baller, like. Yeah. Yo, why is Gary Streisand?
He won
the
World Series. Yeah. I'm having a long week, though. Okay.
Well, it was funny too because the truck you were like it was nothing. It was like a black.
It was just crawling. Truck.
Yeah, exactly.
It was nothing in between like the floats where Carrabba's is with JD Martinez and Rafi just getting bamboozled,
blackout drunk. Yeah,
and then you know David Ortiz is like up front. Like it was nuts, dude. No, wait, actually, that was 18. He wasn't on the team, but, you know, the other guy.
He was probably in the parade,
nuts.
If I had to guess.
Yeah, he probably was in the parade.
Yeah.
Talking about you being a part of the parade, you getting the, you know, the Gatorade baths, you obviously being on sports, do you ever sit back and think to yourself, like, I have lived through, even vicariously, even, like, adjacently, but I've lived through, like, every 11-year-old boys is, like, sports, like, dream?
Yeah.
Like, you've seen shit. That, like... I don't know. That's so cool. That's so freaking cool, you know, to go through that. I don't know what else to add to that.
I don't think that even when I – because I've known that I wanted to be in sports broadcast since sixth grade. No. But even I didn't think that it would – I always knew that I would get to ESPN and host SportsCenter. That was just foregone conclusion. When I was in sixth grade, I told myself I'm going to be a SportsCenter host one day. Obviously, it took work to get there, but I never had any doubt. I didn't have a backup plan, and I knew I was going to get there. But the path to get there, and now that I'm doing that, I'm doing all that I can to make sure that that stays as what it is as long as possible. But the journey to get to that point, I couldn't have predicted it. I don't think that even if somebody had told me out of college, like, hey, this is going to be your path, I don't think I would have believed them. I'm not kidding. I think back on this a lot, actually. 2013 to 2017 was probably, at the risk of sounding like super cheesy, probably a handful of the best years of my life, like professionally and personally, quite honestly. It was so fun. It was so memorable. I wasn't making like good money there, but I was on my own. I was doing my thing and I was like having the time of my life. And it was having the time of my life with no restrictions or guidelines because I didn't know what to expect day to day. Like, I didn't know. When they sent me to spring training in Fort Myers, one, I didn't even know I was going to go to Fort Myers that March until they're like, hey, you're going down to Fort Myers for 10 days to cover spring training. I was like, cool. And then I was down there and like, by the way, come back up, pack, because you're going to Baltimore to do opening day. Like, you're the sideliner. Yeah. I was like, dude, what? When they first offered me the job, I said no, because I wanted to be an anchor. I wanted to anchor the Nesson Sports Today show. So I, no matter what path you're on, I could have never predicted this. It's nuts. Like getting the opportunity to work with and have conversations with and become, you know, for lack of a better term, friends with some of these guys and stay in contact with them. I'm definitely fortunate.
Do you have a moment where you can look back with the benefit of hindsight where you can, like, that was your I made it moment? Was it like your first time doing SportsCenter stuff? Was it something before then, something after that point?
And this isn't me trying to sound like, you know, Andrew Tate alpha, you know, never satisfied, but
please don't do that. I'm not a friend of the program, Andrew Tate.
but I don't think that I've had like an I made it moment. I've not looked back and been like, all right, I can relax now. Of course, you know, when I hosted my first SportsCenter, it was sort of like validation that all of this like work and sacrifice and, you know, working in Wyoming where I was making 20 grand a year and living in a basement and my paychecks were $600 every 2 weeks. Fast forward, you know, 2018, November, I'm doing my first sports center. It's more validation as opposed to I made it. We just recently won an Emmy for sports center, like a national Emmy. Like I have a, I have the regional one right here. For
we
Ness
just
and
talked
Clubhouse.
About regional.
For,
yeah, let's Ness bring it over. Bring it over, Gary.
For Ness and Clubhouse. But we just got one for SportsCenter. And I was like, this don't sound right. And come to find out, me and Randy are on the submission tape that was awarded. The we weren't the only ones, but some of the stuff we did was on the actual tape. So then when Randy sent me the list of names of the anchors that get one, I guess, or were submitted, it's Hannah Storm, Gary Streisky, Scott Van Pelt.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's alphabetical. So I'm like in between these two legends, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this just doesn't sound or seem right. But I guess it is. So, again, not a – I made it, I'm here, but like, all right, validation of hard work. If you believe in yourself, you can get there, as cliche and cheesy as it sounds, like you can do that. But now what do you have to do to ensure you can continue doing that? Right. So up to this point, I have a broadcast coach who I meet with, like monthly. I signed up for improv classes that I start in 2 weeks because I always want to stay sharp.
It's tough. Have you ever done it?
Yeah, I do. I have. I was actually at the Improv Asylum in Boston for.
Oh, really?
Like
I did it in
two years
in school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Improv's fun, and then when I moved to Dallas, I did it, and then moving up here, so I popped on to do improv, and then I've done like I'm not a stand-up comedian, but I've done like 3-4-5 minute sets.
A tight
just
five.
To get comfortable.
Give
me a tight five. Cool. I'll give you three. So anyway, I say that to say I do all these things now to make sure I stay sharp so that way I can stay in the position that I'm at right now. Because it's not I made it. It's, okay, I got here. How can I stay here?
Right. And is that like probably like that sounds like just a general good piece of advice for anyone who would want to do this. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And truly in any industry. But I would say – And with you guys too, in this space, broadcast space, like everybody wants what you have. Like everybody, and I don't say that to be like, you know, pessimistic about things or have a bad worldview about things, but you know, it's we're fortunate to be in positions that we are. So you just have to make sure that you're doing the right things to deserve those positions. So, you got to stay sharp, man. Like if you're not there, there's 100 people behind you who will do the job happily, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's like playing running back in the NFL, man.
Oh,
it's devalued, but it's so valuable, but it's devalued because people know.
Good topical reference there, Gary.
There's five guys behind you that they don't got to pay as much, even though I'm Brock Purdy, man. I got brought in on a part-time deal and I've worked my way up. But yeah, man, there's hundreds of people behind you ready to take your job.
Yeah, they have. That's well put.
Oof.
That's tough. Lessons with Gary.
Yeah, it was inspiring, though. I really, exactly. I mean, Gary, you should do motivational speaking.
Hey,
you and Michael
Irvin. I've done a couple speeches. You know, that's part of the Gary Streisky media kit package that you can get.
You get do we get that?
I do commencement speeches. All right.
I was going to say, you did a commencement speech, right? Yeah.
I did a commencement speech at my school in Denver back in December.
Wow.
So that was a good time. Yeah, that was
absolutely.
Fun.
Absolutely.
I wrote it the morning of.
Really?
That's so fun. That's going to go great. We were, before you came on, we were talking about how we all procrastinate. We're awful procrastinators.
Well, the morning of, not the morning of the actual speech, the morning of its actual due date, which was like a week before.
Oh, they probably
got
to like,
skim it, you know?
Yeah, they got to vet it.
Yeah.
Approve it.
Yeah, they're like, you're going to say what? About who? but yeah, I wrote it that morning, even though I had legitimately like a 3 month, a 3 month advance warning.
That's right.
Yeah. Cause I remember I was golfing with my friend, and I got the call, the email, and, I was playing golf with Kenny, and then commencement was in December. So that was like September, October. Yeah. I had like a 3 month runway and I was like, dude, I'll get it done. I'll get it done.
You did, to be fair.
How long was the speed? Like the length?
20 minutes.
Oh Jesus.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It's actually pretty damn good too. Listen, I'm not here to toot my horn or, you know, give myself a pat on the back, but I thought it actually ended up.
Cast yourself up
well.
A little bit. You deserve it.
Is it on YouTube? I'll give it a watch. I love a good speech.
It is on YouTube. If you got 20 minutes, man.
I got all the time in the world, Gary.
Yeah. I thought I was going to go viral like the he might be an admiral in the Navy. He did the speech at UT.
Make your bed once, like, in the morning, and that's all I need. Yeah.
Make your bed. Keep swimming.
Yeah.
Get sandy or whatever they were.
Like Conan O'Brien gave one at Harvard. That's pretty popular, I think.
Yeah, I was Googling notable
just good commencement.
And it would be like him and Ken Jeong and Elon Musk and a couple of other people, and I would watch them and I'd be like, these aren't inspiring me at all.
Especially the Elon one, I would imagine.
Yeah. So I didn't really garner any inspiration from any of them. So I just wrote from the heart.
There you go. Inspired you.
Yeah.
Guys, yeah. I don't know if you have any other questions, but I mean,
I have an audience submission.
Audience.
So
is that Sophie?
Yeah, Sophie, my girlfriend Gary, she's a big Alex Earl
fan. What's up,
fan.
Sophie?
Gary says.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And she, apparently, you recently referred. What was the situation? He was
talking about how that asshole Tyler Wade.
Oh.
Wouldn't post her on Instagram, and they broke.
Correct,
up.
Correct.
That's aggressive.
I mean, Sophie, but
Alex,
you know.
By name and simply referred to Tyler Wade as. Quote, her boyfriend.
Yeah,
so
I guess.
My question is the official ESPN stance Team Alex?
You care to answer that, Gary?
I can't
say.
Can
you go on the record?
Sophie, thank you for your question. Thank you so much for your question. The official ESPN stance is we are Team Alex, of course. I did mention her on SportsCenter, and she made a video about it. Alex Earl did. She was like, my dad's friend called me and was telling my dad how a guy on SportsCenter mentioned my name this morning. And then I, of course, duetted that with the clip and, you know, garnered some views from that. But then I've seen her at a couple of events recently, F1 in Miami. And then at the ESPYs last week, I talked to Braxton.
Speaking
here's the
of
thing.
Asshole boyfriend.
Oh no! Oh no! Is Braxton
Wait,
on the
really?
In the doghouse now?
Yeah, he.
Liam and I are like, what is going on?
he did what?
With Alex Earl.
No, okay, hold on. That's a lot of hearsay. Hold on, I'm not.
Allegedly.
Posted the receipts. She posted it on her Instagram story, the timeline.
Because they're still talking, right? But here's the thing. I saw them July 19th, it was, last Wednesday, and they walked the red carpet together. So there hasn't been transgressions between Wednesday and today, correct?
No.
That's only six days.
In February, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's old news.
So it's okay, because it was a couple of months ago. We've moved on.
If she's going to walk the red carpet with him,
oh, well,
obviously,
I mean,
you're not going to do
she's
that
chill
in, a
with him.
In a state of disgruntlement.
Oh, she's completely happy with it because she was not the one to be fucked over.
Correct.
Right? She was the
and
one.
And I will say, yeah.
It's nasty.
This is right. I mean, the pot on Lansdowne listeners, they have to know.
I mean, there are so many people screaming at their car right now saying, what is going on?
Braxton is a short king. He's a short king, an athletic king.
Yeah.
Correct,
Jake is not
but
that.
He was good. He was cool. He's good people.
Cool. He was a patriot for one special year.
And I didn't want to hammer it home like, oh, you're here with your famous girlfriend. So I kept it just bro on bro. But I did allude to the watch he was wearing, and I was like, you're going to make sure the missus is paying attention? Because she makes a lot of money, you know, and she can lace you with anything you might need.
Gotta respect someone whose girlfriend is the breadwinner.
That's us.
Not us, actually. Jake makes $15 a month on this podcast, and that's his own.
Most certainly does. That's enough. I'll have you know.
You guys, hey.
All right.
I think on that note, it's time for me to exit stage left.
Gary, dude, this was amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. I mean, the wide range of stuff we're talking about on this was fantastic, and we really appreciate you taking some time to chop it up with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, of course, fellas. Lastly, are the Sox a wild card team? Are they getting to the postseason?
Yes. Now I think yes. Now I think yes.
Wow. Okay.
I believe
just wild card, right?
Just wild. Yeah. No, not the division.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's.
Baltimore's going to win the division. Baltimore's going to catch.
Let's not
Tampa.
Talk crazy.
No. Yeah. Keep it realistic enough, but. Basically, is what we're saying. Get ready for the 2023 parade because you're going to have to get. Into another
okay.
truck and you have
You'll
to
be on
part
another
of that.
Truck, yeah.
Just me in a lonely pickup truck bed.
Absolutely. Gary, again.
I'll look if I have a picture of it because I want to say I took a picture of you and I'll text it you if I do.
Amazing.
But it's so
that's
funny.
Amazing.
Gary, again, man, thank you so much.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, guys. It was great chopping it up with you. And link me when this is. When is this coming out?
Tomorrow. Drop it tomorrow.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, quick turnaround.
We're all about that quick turnaround here, Gary.
Yeah.
All
right. Good to see you guys. Tell Howie I said what's up.
I will.
All right.
Thanks, Gary.
Take care. Thanks, Gary.
Skip it up.
All right. We're back from our conversation with Gary. Thank him so much. And thank Jake so much for setting it up. Very well done.
Way to go, Jake.
Thank you, Jake.
It was an amazing conversation, wasn't it, folks?
It was great.
It was awesome.
Great guy.
We haven't had it yet as we record this. We're recording this before.
Fits.
We've done that before. We've peeled back
behind
the curtain.
Yeah, a little peek behind the curtain.
All right. That's a little inside production trick for you there.
Yeah.
You time travel, basically.
Fellas, there's something I want to tackle real quick.
Tackle away.
So, as of recording, this could change tonight, of course, and the next day and the day after, but we are ahead of the Yankees right now. We're one game up on them. We're in fourth, they're in fifth. Can we just take a moment and dissect how catastrophically bad that roster is constructed?
we could do this for like an hour and a half.
I mean, it's genuinely I'm like struggling to put into words. I don't understand how they thought, yeah, that's good, especially because you're all in because Judge is what, you know, he's 40 years old already. It's like. You don't have years to like really build something with him. You gotta kind of push all your chips in, and they're just not. They have exactly two good players.
The lack of depth,
and they're both old.
Especially in that lineup, the lack of depth right now. I mean, Rizzo.
Yeah, that
lineup.
That lineup's miserable.
But that's not even Fitz. It's not even that.
It's 15
depth,
things.
Depth is one thing, but there's not even like there's
not as much quality.
Yeah, there's not. There's not. It's
there's
Aaron
15
Judge.
Things. Listen,
yeah,
we're both
Aaron
right.
Judge, and then the next best hitter, I think, is Rizzo.
Then there's 50 feet of crap.
Who is bad? there's nobody.
Stanton, nightmare.
Nightmare.
Rizzo, Stance. Bad recently.
Bad. Glaber, I think, is having
Glaber's
an okay.
Been, Glaber's
season.
Been solid.
Yeah. LeMahieu, toast.
They have,
extend LeMahieu?
Three
man?
Qualified
Why did they
hitters.
Give him that money?
Three qualified, yeah, and
three
it's
qualified
not good.
Hitters with an OPS plus over 100.
And
good.
One is Judge, who's
and
hurt.
One is Judge at 193, then Torres at 108, and Rizzo at 103.
Yeah, so I mean, it's bad.
It's 3% better than the average bear.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah.
They also have one starting pitcher with an ERA plus over 100. It's Cole.
Gonna say Garrett,
good.
Right?
Yeah. But then everybody else is below average. I mean, it is such a horribly constructed roster. I can't believe it.
Jordan Leandro, I'll try to find the specific thread. He did a thread last night, Monday night, as you're listening to this. Jordan dived into the math. Dove into the shit. Kick rocks. How about that?
All right.
You're going to be dived into a volcano after I push you in there, buckaroo, all right?
Gotcha.
But Jordan took a look at the amount of money spent per F-War.
Uh-huh. On the Yankees or in general?
Well, for the he compared it with the Red Sox. The Red Sox are around league average, so like they're doing a good enough of a job of finding enough value where they can. The Yankees, not so much. I'm stalling trying to find the thread. I wish I had it pulled up beforehand. My
apologies.
Well, three
of the four highest payrolls stink this year, right? I mean, it's...
What, Mets, Padres, Yankees?
Yeah.
It was the fourth.
And then the Dodgers probably, right? They're probably decently high, if I had to guess.
So here's the biggest takeaway of that thread from Jordan. Again, at Jordan Leandry 55. 15.3 F4 to $144.2 million for the Red Sox. That comes out to $9.4 million per F4 for the Red Sox. And again, that's around league average. Do you want to guess how many million dollars the Yankees are spending per one F4 on their roster?
$21 million.
Close.
Oh, okay.
$17.7 million per F4.
All right.
That is bad. That is not good.
So what's the do you have other teams there or just those two?
Just those two here. Okay. And again, Jordan may have taken a deeper dive. I don't want to go into all the numbers on it, but the point is that I'd say the value that the Yankees have on their team is bad, but there is no value to be found in is what they're doing, when Judge is hurt.
There's nothing there. Is this the straw that breaks the camel's back that is Brian Cashman's like lifetime job security?
I don't know. If I was a Yankee fan, I would. Hal is just such a dork.
Like, he is.
It's so brutal. I mean, George, for his faults, and there were plenty, cared about winning, you know. I mean, he wanted to win baseball.
He was very involved.
Yeah, Hal is like, just spend some money, I guess. I don't care. It's like, so he's so detached from it and is totally fine with what is right now mediocrity. I saw some Yankees fan I follow, pardon me, I forget who it was, but they were saying how the first half of last season was a fucking disaster for how the team is perceived by like the front office and stuff. Because
they were like 20 games over 500 at the point, weren't they?
And they've been pretty shitty since then. And it's like, I think Cashman and Hal, whatever, they think that, oh, we're so close to like being right there again. You know, it's like little things, but it's not. it's not at all. And then, you know, there was people a couple nights ago, who said it? Heyman maybe, about Ohtani getting traded to the Yankees. The Angels have a better roster than the Yankees.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
Jake, do you want to hear this? So the 2022 Yankees, they were 64-28 in the first half last year.
That's crazy.
They went 35-35 the rest of the way.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Nothing's gone much better since.
So, I mean, since then, they've been – I mean, yeah, what are they right now? I think 49 and
– They are 50 and 45.
Okay. Yeah. I don't even know – Yeah, I stayed up to watch the game last night, you know, because it mattered for us.
It felt like a playoff game in Anaheim.
It did.
I got to give those fans credit.
Because their backs are against the wall with the future of Ohtani, you know? This is, you know.
It's really, 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 really bizarre that they haven't, that front office hasn't been like, maybe we let Volpe have some more time in AAA. He stinks.
But, I mean, to your point, though, there's no depth on the team. So, like, who?
I mean, that's, yeah, I guess that's.
Who else are you going to play? Like,
what difference does it make? But, I mean, you're killing the kids. He strikes out every time he comes to bat. That can't be healthy for. I mean, and he's young, too, right? Like, he wasn't even supposed to start with the team. It was like, he had a good spring training. But, I mean, yeah, he comes up. I haven't seen him. Yeah, he's bad.
At some point, he needs some more time to marinate, which is fine for his development. He should still be a good player, but
not if he's 22 and in 95 games, he's already struck out 104 times. The OPS plus is 82, but the slash line's terrible. The OPS is 660.
Yeah, he needs more time to marinate.
Yeah, those are Kike Hernandez numbers. Actually, Kike's worse than that, to be clear.
What is his OPS plus? Yeah, like 60 something?
I apologize to Anthony Volpe for that claim.
Yeah, we do a little trolling, but we like to be fair where we can.
Yeah, yeah.
Fair and balanced here on Lansdowne.
Yeah. I revel in it though. You could just see the abyss of just mediocrity being in limbo for the Yankees. If something doesn't change fast,
I don't know what you're supposed to do if you're them.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. They're in a tough spot too. They're in a very tough spot because Cole, your only good pitcher, is what is he now? Like 32?
32, if I had to guess.
And then Judge is, I think,
he's no spring chicken.
31. Judge is 31.
And still a lot of productivity ahead of them.
I know.
Right?
But also not a model of health. Also not a model of health.
Yeah.
Judge.
Yeah.
you're in trouble. I mean, to be frank. And what do you do? You have no capital either. Like, you can't go out and trade. You know, people are like, sell, sell, sell. Sell who? Yeah, your team stinks. There's no value on that. If I was a buyer, like, maybe Glaber, but he's young, so he's like the one guy you hold on to. It's really bad.
He's got to be coming up on an extension at some point too. It's
Glaber,
not,
yeah,
it's
he's probably
it's not
close.
Like Glaber came up last year. Glaber was there in 18.
Yeah, it's bad. I'm they're really in a bad spot.
Like, when's he up for? When's his last year of arbitration? When's he due for an extension?
Cashman, though, I really do think is Teflon. I don't know what it would take.
No, honestly, I feel kind of the same way with Boone. Like, it's like,
no, I think he would go.
I think
Cashman
has more production than Boone, 100%.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, at some point, when's it going to be time for Booney? When Booney, if I, again, I'm not even like, I'm like,
yeah, if
I'm like
no,
90% joking saying this, I don't know if Booney's going to get fired. But if Booney does get fired, we need to have a eulogy for that because I'll miss the Aaron Boone era. 100%.
Oh, absolutely, a Red Sox hero through and through.
Could you imagine saying that after game 7 and 0-3 being like, no, this guy's
awesome.
Go
back in
Trust
time.
Me.
You're gonna love this guy, I promise.
I think 7-year-old me would have found a knife to try to stab you with if you said that.
I think historically, in hindsight, that home run was probably a good thing for the Red Sox.
That was a great thing.
The benefits of hindsight. You don't know if you beat the Marlins in 0-3, so whatever. 0-4, you react, you go get Schilling, you go get Folk. You win the World Series that year, and then that home run causes the Yankees to hire a big dumb idiot with no managerial experience. And we won another World Series and beat them on the way there. Because
he hit a knuckleball that didn't knuckle.
Yeah. So, hey, that home run.
How many? Question for you guys.
Take back the word. We're going to take back that home run. That actually was good
for
us.
Yeah, it's ours. We're
claiming. Yeah, appropriating.
Yeah. The Boone home run was good for us.
Come and take it, the Yankees fans. So,
question for you guys: how many prospects do you think the Yankees have in the top in MLB's top 100 right now?
Is Volpe still a prospect?
No, Volpe's not on there. Cabrera's not on there.
Two.
I was gonna guess two.
Yeah, it's Jason
Dominguez. Yeah, and who's
and then Austin Wells, a catcher at 79.
I don't. Yeah.
Like you don't have anything to trade from.
That's what I mean. Yeah, they're in. Free agency
and
gets worse
young guys
every year.
Do, they're already up. They're already up there at the major league level.
Yeah. No, it's bad. So, it's bad. We keep saying it. It's bad. I don't know.
Do you tear it down? I mean, they're
you
not going to move.
You just
there's
nothing.
Judge.
Judge.
Who's taking the money?
You're fine.
What's LeMahieu's contract? Because I remember LeMahieu got
a five-year offer.
They gave him a
Stan's got another five too. I think his ends.
Who's taking that money? No one is. No one's taking that. No one's offloading it.
It's really bad. Was Rizzo
LeMahieu's got the next 3 years at 50.
3 years of DJ LeMahieu.
What did Rizzo extend for, Liam? Do you have that?
I think it was just 2 years.
It was just two. Okay, that's. Yeah,
let me
so
pull
that's
him
whatever.
Up,
LeMahieu for three more years. He's 35.
Yeah,
he's
so,
35.
I mean, Rizzo,
and yeah. You have him for three more years at 15 per.
Well, it doesn't get much not better great. Here, Fitz. Rizzo is under contract through 24.
That's
17
toast.
Per year.
17 per year?
And there's a $17 million team option.
They're
25.
Wasting the Judge and Cole era.
Well,
it's
at least
it's a
team option.
Unless,
I mean, there's a $6 million buyout. I imagine they take that.
Yeah, they're good. Well, yeah, I think they'll take that one. Well, maybe not. I don't know. He's one of their only positive hitters. Maybe not. I get this right.
They're a mess.
You need bats. Yeah.
I keep forgetting Rodon exists. I know he like just.
No, he
Rodon! They got him. They got money for him. He's pitched like once, maybe twice.
Does that deal have any opt outs or anything? Is it just the straight seven?
If it's Rodon, a player one, he's not taking it. I would imagine.
Fitz, I actually would imagine he would take it.
The opt out. He's not.
No,
the
not an opt out. The opt in. What is it?
He would opt into the contract and take the money. That's. Yes.
He's under contract through 28, which would be his age 35 season, 27.8 per year.
They're done.
Yeah.
They're toast, dude.
Yeah, I really don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Your future salary is $139 million for Rodon.
Wow. That's tough.
That's tough.
Man.
That's the one cool. That's what's really cool about this year's Red Sox. We don't have any sort of despair like that.
It's no, like Chris at
Sale.
Least, like,
we have Chris Sale for one more year. Whatever.
We can like kind of see a future core.
Well, let's talk about that, Liam. Let's talk about that because I could see it very well. I see it. It's right in front of me, and I'm looking at it. I got all
of
them.
If they're smart enough, they'll lock them up on like reasonable enough contracts.
Yeah, I got Tristan Casas rapidly approaching an 800 OPS after a fucking disastrous April. But his fingernails are painted, so, you know, cut him.
We didn't think about
that. Brian Bale, an ace. Not an ace, but, you know, he's a top of the rotation starter.
Yeah.
Devers is 26. Devers is still young, too, which is the craziest
crazy
shit. Devers, gosh, who else we got? Duran
Marcello.
Might be real, looks like.
Potentially Duran, Yoshi. Debate.
We got Massa for 5 more years. Verdugo,
maybe
I don't know. We don't know. Wong is definitely a starting catcher in the MLB. Who else? Oh my gosh. And then we get into the prospects.
Yeah.
Which look great.
There's like 5 or 6 of them.
We have 5 top 100 now. Yeah. Not bad. Not bad.
From at Talk and Yanks, just to put a pin in this before we move on to the grid. The Yankees are in sole possession of last place this late in the season for the first time since, does anyone want to guess?
1990.
I saw it. It's
1990.
Yeah.
And they finished the season
I saw it earlier
last
too.
October of 1990. That's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So that was
that prediction. I'm going to hold on to that prediction if it comes true for the rest of my life. I'll tell my grandkids.
You would have called shot right now. And so far, so good. You know,
I really.
Good.
I mean, props to you because it was less clear at the beginning of the year. 100%. Right now, July 18th, I would be legitimately surprised if they didn't finish in last.
I mean, we still could, but like the expectations are different.
I think we legit have such a legitimately better roster than them, though.
I think so. You know, I'm just saying.
I mean, if Judge, they still are talking like Judge's. They don't know.
Didn't they say like his toe might be fucked up for the rest of his life?
Well, like they gotta amputate it. What is that about? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Loses balance.
That's hey. Come on,
that's what toes help you balance.
We don't wish injury though.
No, we don't.
His inner
ear is
going.
No, his inner ear.
Career ending.
Oh, hey,
vertigo.
I wanted to ask you guys. So I tweeted this during the Cubs game when we were getting slaughtered, the bad one. The Saturday night game.
Yeah,
but here's a little thought experiment before the grid fits. So the Cubs, they draft. They have the first overall pick. Kid's he's can't miss, center fielder, 5 tools. He's unbelievable. Okay. He gets to the majors, say, like 25 months after he flies through the minors. He arrives at Wrigley, first pitch, double near the wall that he has to go get. They discover he's catastrophically allergic to the ivy.
To the ivy?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What do they do? What do they do? What would happen, do you think?
Does it get out publicly?
He's got hives immediately on the field.
He
I mean,
blows
he's like,
up like
he's ripping
like
his
Will
shirt
Smith.
Off. He's
Will
scratching.
Smith
he's bleeding.
Pitch.
Yeah.
You
what do you
DH
think?
Him at home. You DH him.
No, Fitz. He's 5 tool. He's 5 tool.
He's like Andrew Jones.
But if you offer him in a trade, everyone's gonna say, "Why are you offering me this trade right now?" I mean, I guess there's no ivy there.
So trade him. You think they trade him?
Like, he's Fitz, is he out for like 2 days?
He's Mike Trout. He's Mike Trout.
And he's out for like 2 days every time he has to go to the wall?
Well, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. He could maybe play through it, but it's bad.
Do you just coach him to like stop, like, once he reaches the warning track?
That's what I'm saying.
Always put his hands up.
That's the whole. What do you do? That's what I'm saying. I mean,
just always inside the park, home runs because the center fielder has to come in and get it.
Because it's the same Ivy. It's the same like breed of Ivy forever, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So they couldn't change the Ivy. Is my point.
Would they change? I was gonna. Well, that's part of the brand too.
They can't get rid of it, right? Well, they can't get rid of it, but Ivy is not. They could maybe change the Ivy. That was my thought.
Maybe.
This would be a good, like, I don't know. Maybe I'll write this script.
I think that's pretty good.
It's one joke. I don't know how much of a, but it's.
But it can branch off into, like, 20 different jokes.
Yeah, I think, and there's no medicine, by the way. There's no preventative measures as far as, like, medically they could take. I think he would. No, you're right. Yeah, maybe they do DH him at home, Fitz. That's, I don't know.
Yeah, and then on the road, he's 5-tool. Let's still have the season, right?
Yeah. You know? He's 3-tool at home.
Before we jump to break and before we jump to the grid, I did want to get to this one quick DM from Thomas of the Short Shift podcast. He DM'd me over the weekend.
Yes.
Because he was saying, I'm just reading through it. Shout out to Thomas for sending this. Assuming this was your first trip to Wrigley, it was not. But it was my Humble first bread. On the rooftops there. Do the rooftops, by the way, if you ever can. The rooftops are amazing. were you bummed the Cubs weren't wearing their traditional home jerseys? They might have one of the least offensive City Connect jerseys, but for me, I would want the full experience down to the pinstripes and all. I hate their City Connects. It didn't really annoy me that they wore them Friday, though. You know,
they're just boring. That's all.
It happens.
They're not like an eyesore.
I just think that they're like pathetically boring. I don't like them at all. But it didn't ruin the experience for me, really, one way or the other. Yeah, I would have rather them be in the pinstripes there. I think it's a far better jersey. But, you know, it is what it is. What are you going to do? It was still a good night, especially because the Red Sox won. So thank you for that message.
I agree. And we've spoken about how much it – I think we all agree, but definitely me, how much it pisses me off when they just wear the blue – they consistently wear the blue alternates. All the time. The red, too, which are better than the blue, but I still – I mean, I love the home and aways. They have one of the most iconic looks in literally the world of sports, the entire earth.
Yeah.
And they just wear these shitty alts all the time. I don't understand it.
I don't think they're shitty, per se, but yeah,
I think
I don't
the blue
know
ones are
so
legitimately,
much.
like actually boring.
Well, they should do the V-neck, like the
yeah,
old
they should
dinosaur.
Have, yeah,
right.
We've discussed this.
We don't need to beat a dead horse here. Yeah. So, all right, let's quickly step away, and then grid time to wrap up the show this week. We're back. Pot on Lansdowne. Fitz, Jake, Liam, as always, wrapping up the show. Immaculate grid time. Immaculate grid. Jake, you're our grid guy. What do we have for our options today?
Grid guy. So north to south on the these will be our rows. We got New York Yankees up top, Seattle Mariners in the middle, Miami Marlins on the bottom, and then west to east. These will be our columns. We got Phillies, Brewers, and Silver Sluggers.
All right, and another peek behind the curtain. We can't do this terribly long because we still have our conversation to do with Gary.
we're speedrunning. Let's go speedrunning.
Right. John Mattingly, Silver Slugger for the Yankees.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, I have
6%.
Jesus.
I mean,
really?
Edgar Martinez had to win a Silver Slugger for
had to
the Mariners.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it was probably Ichiro Suzuki as well.
Yeah.
17% for Edgar.
Stanton for the Marlins. I don't know anybody else.
Because
I was
going to
say Hanley.
Right. Immaculate grid, world record, like new WRs.
Like the Rubik's Cube
any,
kid.
Any percent. 48% for Stanton. All right.
Yeah, I mean.
Yankees, Phillies. How about David Robertson?
Ooh, sure.
You could do a lot of guys. I feel there's a lot of crossover there.
Phillies, Marlins, JT.
JT Realmuto? Yep. 17% yes, for Robertson, by the way. Real Muto will be a lot, I would imagine.
Yeah, 41 on Real Muto. Yeah.
Phillies, Mariners, Cliff Lee.
Ooh, yes, that's everyone a great forgets one. That Cliff Lee had that cup of coffee. Now be careful, because there was a Cliff Lee from like the 1820s.
The Brewers. See, this way, we're back in the Central. I'm fucked now. I don't know player. I don't know Brewers.
Yankees. Oh,
CC Sabathia.
Oh, great call.
Yeah, that's probably like 80%. 47.
He was special with the Brewers. He was.
He
so,
was. That's
he yeah, was 47%. That run.
Seattle, Milwaukee.
Oh Jesus Christ.
Seattle, Milwaukee.
Well, Yelich for Seattle Marlins.
Yep.
Or, Milwaukee.
Marlins, yeah. Marlins Brewers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean,
okay, one left.
Shout out Sarah Griffin for Christian Yelich.
63 on Yelich.
Yeah, 63. Yeah,
Brewers, Mariners, that is tough.
Did Molitor play for Seattle?
Wade Miley.
Swamp Monster.
He's there the ace. Is. The ace. The actual ace.
Bang. 256 rarity score. Yeah, that was so speed. Yeah.
All right. Well.
Yeah, just
oh, you know, we need to do an emoji. We got to do an emoji. People have been hounding us.
Oh, that's right.
Well, do a bear for the Cubs.
Yeah, fuck it.
Sure.
Do a bear for the Cubs. If you made it to this point, tweet us an emoji of a bear. We will tweet it back at you and follow you back, of course. So, all right, that's going to do it for this edition of Pod on Lansdowne. We'll be back next week, as always, hopefully with a still resurgent Boston Red Sox baseball club, hopefully a team that will look like clear buyers at the deadline. We should do like a trade deadline wish list next week.
Okay.
If we're buyers.
What's that idea?
Or if we're sellers. Maybe we just lose all of them. And it's like, ah, never mind. It was fun while it lasted. But all right. Anyways,
all right.
For Jake, for Liam.
We love you.
For Gary. Thank you again to Gary for coming on.
Thank you, Gary.
I'm Fitz, you've been you. We'll talk to you next week. Go Sox, obey your mother.
Obey your mother.
Obey your mother.
I was going to say, Liam, just keep stalling it for like 15 minutes. We're late for the interview with Gary. Obey your mother.
A great season, have fun, and knowing that better times are ahead for the Baltimore Orioles.
Obey your mother!